the Christian has been built, has been made as somebody that is full of joy.
Amen.
Amazing. I mean, think about it. No matter how dark it is, no matter the pressure, no matter what is happening, that there is a DNA in a Christian that have made a Christian that no matter what you see him, when people are saying there is a casting down, whenever you see him, he's saying what? There is a lifting up. The world cannot understand it. John chapter 14, verse 27. I am leaving you with a gift. This is Jesus Christ saying. Everybody say, he's leaving me with a gift. I am leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind and heart. That's the gift he's left. That's the gift he has done what? He has given me and you. Peace of mind and what? And the heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot what? Cannot give. Do you know that the anomaly today is that people think that the gift that Jesus Christ gives is only that they have bought big cars and they have bought big houses. I mean, that's great. There's nothing. God gives those gifts. But let me tell you, I was not born again. I was sitting in Wall Street. I was making a lot of money, buying big cars and big houses, and I did not have peace. Only God gives that one. So the plan was that I said, you know, maybe if I buy the new S-Class, then finally they'll think I arrived. I go bought it the first month. I was saying I've arrived. By the time the second month came, I'm saying that this is not happening. So I say, you know, maybe it's because this is our house. If we just move out of it and build a bigger one, then I said, that's what we're going to do. I will move. That day will be the people will come and go like, wow, this house is beautiful. And I'm feeling good. 2 months again. He says, I'm leaving you that gift. He said, the world cannot. He said, because this gift, the world cannot have it. And it's a gift of peace of mind and heart. He says, so don't be what? Don't be troubled. Being troubled is an ignorance that you're not taking a gift I've given you. Or you're looking for the gifts at the wrong places. And you're trying to achieve it with wrong things. He said, that's why you're troubled. He said, do not be troubled. Try to understand what I've given you. John 14, verse 28. He comes again. He says, you have heard me say to you, I am what? I am going away. And I'm coming back to you. If you love me, you will do what? You will rejoice because of this, my going away. If you, man, I will show you incredible what happened by him successfully going away. He said, if they knew what was about to happen, and that has happened for me and you now, the going away would have been something that was so. So Jesus having gone away should be causing us tremendous joy. Luke chapter 10, verse 20. He says, but don't rejoice because what? Evil spirits obey. You know that you have sent out his disciples and gave them power. And when they go, they'll speak to evil spirits. They speak to situations, sickness, and it is resolved. They get all excited. They say, why we have power? They can begin to laugh. He says, look, do not rejoice because of what? Those spirits are what? Obey. But say, rejoice because what? Your names are what? They are registered in heaven. I will show you what an advantage, what a tremendous power it is for a person's name being registered there. People think that the register is when they die, they are sitting in heaven. That's good, you can go. But I'll show you in the Bible what an incredible power that a person whose name has been registered. So he said, let your joy not be that you're curing people. He said, that's fine. But let me tell you, he said, something great has happened and I want you to see it. So we rejoice because Christ in us. The Bible said Christ in us, the what? The hope of glory. Because Christ in us, God has taken ownership of you. You see, I'm going back to the Father. Because Christ went back to the Father, and then now you receive him. Christ has gone back to the Father, and then now Christ is in you. God accepted Christ. He says that he came into heaven with his blood and he said he walked into heaven. And he says now that he's seated with God in his what? In his right hand, in heavenly places. And you in him. It means now that God is in charge of you. That's why he was telling them, say, look, you people are just excited, just this thing is happening over here. Let me go back. When I go and I enter and I sit there, you that are in me, all of a sudden now God becomes in charge of you. Because you know why it's important for God to be in charge of you? He says that the God that has given them to me, he's greater than what? That no one, nothing can snatch anything out of God's hand. You are in God's hand because Jesus Christ has come. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13. We read this in the morning. It's incredible. It says, in him. Him is who?
Christ.
In Christ. You also who have heard the word of truth. And what is the word of truth? The gospel. The good news. That Jesus Christ died for our sins. That what happened again? That he resurrected. And that what happened again? That he's seated with God. You see, it's not complete. You know what I'm saying? If he rose and he's hanging out somewhere, then you're not in God's hand. Because the Bible shows, you see, why it's so incredible, you see, nobody else has entered heaven with his own blood. Go and read the Quran. They say Muhammad didn't go there. Buddha didn't go there. There's nobody else. It's only Jesus Christ. Go and read it. It's only Jesus Christ that have said that he entered into the presence of God. They say he entered with his own blood. And when he entered, he was received and he sat down with him. Praise the Lord. So that word of truth, the glad tidings, that's why we rejoice and be glad. It is a glad tiding. The gospel of your salvation, the salvation, and have believed in and had adhered to and relied on him. What happened? We're stamped with the spirit of the word, the long promised Holy Spirit. Well, because you know, God kept saying, he says that I am going to live in them. If you look at it also, he said, nobody will need to teach them anymore. He said, in that day, I will write my law in their heart. He said, because I will be in them. I will be in them. He says, now what happens now is that because he went back, seated with God, what has happened when you believed is that now Christ, God himself, his spirit has come, what? Is in you. And there are a lot of medical people here. Now, very soon, I'm going to start showing some things about DNA, and you see how incredible. Do you know that the chance of a son of an incredible athlete having a baby that's an incredible athlete is much higher than that of somebody who does not know how to do anything? Much higher. Much, much higher. So he said the long promise, now we are stamped with that long promised Holy Spirit. Ephesians 2:22. And in him, you two are being what? Built. In Christ, you are being built. Again, so in the school, we're talking about as you receive the word, there is a morning that finally what? Dawns on you. I'm a builder. So when you start, you build. But you already know where you're going. As a matter, if somebody comes, there's a rendering. You show them what it's going to look when it finishes. Praise the Lord. The young shall grow. Praise the Lord. Do you know it is incredible, wonderful, and it shows life in any environment where you go and you see a lot of children. It's a very exciting thing to have a lot of children in an environment. What that shows is what? That there is life. That's why Jesus Christ told his disciples, he said, don't suffer the little children. Do what? Allow them, let them do what? He said, because this is the kingdom of God. It's something that never ends. That's why it's demonic when people start talking about that men should be with men and not reproduce. It's a demonic thing. When anybody is suggesting anything that does not bring life, it is demonic. Don't be politically correct. It's demonic. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by what? By his Holy Spirit. You're being built. He's in you. Setting you. Building you. Making you what you are. Because that spirit that is already in you has the capacity to do everything. So it is in you making, touching, opening your eyes, showing you so that you can come to the capacity of what is in you. The power that's in the Christian is incredible. Actually, the power that's in the Christian is exactly what God does. So when God says he does a thing, that means that you and God in you, you can do it. That's why he said we can do all things. That's what it means. Because it's he in you, willing and doing of what? His good is in you. All because of Jesus going back. 1 Peter chapter 2, from verse 9 to 11. So it begins to make statements about you and me. Important statements to understand and listen. He says, but you are a chosen race. Say, I am a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood. I am a royal priesthood. A dedicated nation. God's own purchased special people. A dedicated nation. God own what? Purchased special people. They belong to God. They are his. Praise the Lord. That's your son. As a matter of fact, as little as he is, there's some things we do, and his dad starts saying, do you know, or if his dad's mom or you're here, saying, he was doing exactly the same thing when he was that age. And nobody taught that boy that thing. He's his. A special people that you may set forth the what? The wonderful deeds and display the virtues and perfections of him who called you out of darkness into what? His mother. So we are out to display the powers, we are out to display the virtues, we are out to display the perfections of God. That's what you are. That's what you are. To display the virtues, to display the perfections of him who have called you. Verse 10. He said, once you were not a people, but now you are what? God's people. Once you were unpitied, nobody had mercy. The devil can come, society can come, situations can come, anything can come and have it way with you. It was like a city without wall. Anything could crawl in. You see, that's the kind of thing that was before. I'm telling you, being in Christ and him going out with the Father, he says, if you understood what it means that I'm going back to the Father, he said, joy will fool you. Because all of a sudden now you have a hedge around you of God himself. He says, but now you are pitied and have what? And have received mercy. Listen, let me tell you something. If you're dealing with anybody, any country, any situation, the best advantage you have is mercy. Let me tell you, you think you're good? You think you can handle it? There's a place where it's going to come and you cannot hold it anymore. But mercy, you don't need, it's nothing about you. At any time when you come, they says, let him come in. He says, but now you have what? You are not going to. Now, if a person has received mercy, he can walk into any place. If somebody has been pardoned in a country, normally people might, somebody might do something and run away and become a fugitive. And then the president, normally they do, whenever they're doing their last term, they give us some pardons. Immediately you're pardoned. It does not matter what kind of law enter holy. You walk in now and begin to go into every, as a matter of fact, people who have pardoned can run for office. People have pardoned, have no rough. It means that it has been wiped up, a sponge is out, they are free. Verse 11. Then after he said that, he started now calling you beloved. They didn't call nobody beloved before. After he finished telling you who you are now, what has happened for me and you, he began now to call you beloved. The one that is loved. The one that is accepted. The one that can come in anywhere. The one that the Lord's mercy is working. You know, that's what David, all the way in the Old Testament, he began to talk. He said, blessed is that man in whom God does not find any iniquity. He said, wow, what a blessed person. He didn't say, blessed is the man that has not committed iniquity. He said, God does not find it. That's who he calls blessed. He doesn't call someone who has 17 cars blessed. He's saying that God's eye, he can't go wrong. He's just saying, beloved, beloved, beloved. He said, wow, what a blessed person. That's who you are, a blessed person. In the person that God has what? Poured mercy. He says, so I implore you as aliens and strangers, and he starts telling you that really, begin to think of yourself when you look at these things, you are aliens and strangers to it. Aliens and exiles and strangers, to abstain from sensual urges. Do you know what sensual urges is? People mean sensual urges, sexual. Sensual urges mean they're your senses. Means that you only deal with facts. But you know, as a worship person, all you want to deal with is facts. They bring anything, you say, well, these are what the numbers say. So I was doing a deal with a bank. As we're having a meeting, I begin to speak faith. But thank God, God is so wonderful. The people who are approving the loan that came there, all of them are born again people. But they came to the boardroom and they didn't want to say anything. Me, I walk in. Because to me, you see, it doesn't matter. I walk in the power of God. Listen, it doesn't matter. When God has said what God has said is what's going to happen. What he has said. So I walked into this meeting. And they said, tell us about yourself. They wanted me to talk about millions and billions I built. I began to talk to them. I said, I'm a preacher. I said, okay. You came to borrow money to build a house. I said, yep. I started beginning to tell them about the power of God. As I spoke and I spoke and I spoke, they started looking at each other. The woman said, start calling me Reverend. Say, please, can I say something? He said, we are all born again. He says, we did a research on you. Then he brought out my pictures from ordination. He said, we did it. But he said, we're waiting to, hey. They said, so they started saying, Reverend, this is how we think we should do it. So I became Reverend. By the time we finished, they said, Reverend, please, we'd like you to help us with our work with God. So I walked in there with the power of God. And when I was living there, there were facts. But the meeting was not based on facts anymore. It began to be based on truth. The senior guy started saying, especially because he's a reverend, the way he was talking over there, we can trust him. And we're talking about a lot of money. And when we finished everything, they said, well, you know banks. You have to submit this. I said, yes. But the mood completely changed. The mood wasn't five lawyers coming to present for me and two accountants. He brought me talking and just all I was speaking was the truth. And look at God. That the people he brought and put in the room there are people of faith. Of the whole, I'm not going to call the company, a whole big bank, that the two senior managers that were sent to come and approve my loans were people who are born again. Do you think that was just coincidence? So sensual is facts. He said, because you people are beloved people, because you people have the Holy Spirit living in you, because you people have a different DNA, you are spirit. Don't be walking too much with facts. That's what sensual means. Sense. Eyes. Ear. Feeling. Smell. That's what sensual. But whenever people hear, say, hey, sensual. Sensual is not just a bad thing. Whenever people hear sensual, they think it's sleeping around. No, that is sexual. That's different. That's not what he's saying. Sensual is not bad. It's not bad. As a matter of fact, we live by our senses. If I say I'm too spiritual now and go to the middle of this road and see a car coming and walk by, you people will come and pick me up. So senses are wonderful. Senses are wonderful. So, but he says that we need to abstain from the sensual urges, to want to be forced to forget who we are and just want to walk by what our senses are telling us. He said, don't do that. He says, you're not a regular human being. That's what he's trying to tell you. He says, you have the senses, but he said, there's a difference. He said, don't do that. He said that they wage war against your soul. They fight you. So when you get up and say you're healed, your senses say, are you kidding me? Don't you hear this pain? When you get up and say you're blessed, say, are you kidding me? Where's your money for mortgage? They wage a war against what? Your soul. Your soul is your heart. That's not what God bought again. Your soul did not get born again. Your soul is transformed by the renewal. That's how it gets transformed. It is the Spirit of God that transforms that one. That one did not get born again. That's why you can see a Christian whose heart is not transformed. He's worse than somebody who never received the Spirit. And that's the question that was happening in the morning. That's what the problem is. The problem is he comes. They say, Jesus. He take. Don't pay no attention to it. He does not improve himself. He does not listen to the word. He does nothing. So he continually, the senses continue to control that person. If they do, they wage war against it. If he wants to believe anything, he says, are you crazy? Come on, my friend, look at this one. He says, yeah, that is true. And then this world and some other unbelieving believers will be his friend. So they too will come. If he wants to think, they will join. And say, are you crazy? They say, heaven help those who what? But he will not ask them, show me now where he's in the Bible. You know, Christians say that heaven helps those. I say, heaven helps those who help themselves. Somebody was doing something. He came to justify it to me. I said, you don't need to justify this to me. He said, I understand that if you go to Rome, you do like Romans. I said, you're committing crime. Is that what Americans do? He left me alone. So, verse 12. Oh, no, not verse 12. Okay, finish. That's good. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 to 3. He said, then, and set your mind and keep them set on what is what? What is above. Set your mind and keep them set. Set your mind and keep them set. Because the Holy Spirit is in you. He's not a man. Set them on things above. Not on things that are what? That are on the earth. Verse 3, for as far as this world is concerned, you have what? You have died, and your new real life is what? Hidden. That's where your real life is. That's where your real life is. That's why when Christ says that, there's nothing that can come to you that is new. That even if it comes, that I'm going to do what? I'm going to make a way for you. When people are saying, there's no way for this thing, you tell them, no. I'm hidden in Christ. There's a way. You just be walking with him, and boom, the way opens up. It opens. He said your life is hidden in Christ, in God. You are not ordinary. Your life is hidden. It's when something is hidden. Now, if something is hidden in Christ and then in God, so somebody has to go and open God. And he says that God, that nothing can snatch anything out of his hand. So I guess we might as well just forget the fact that anything can go and snatch. So this is God's hand. You are in Christ. Inside. So they first have to snatch God. Snatch Christ. Before you are exposed. Is that possible? So that brings me to something I wanted to say. Science. And so, you know, so I am surrounded by science people and medical people. So I keep learning. My younger brother was sick when he was doing residency. So I went to visit him in Pennsylvania. And then so, as we are talking, he's telling me all these medical terms. So when he was there, he had something in his kidney that was being flushed. So his hands or something swollen. So he was telling me that it's called his third base and all that kind of thing.
Third space.
You see, I'm calling third base. You see, now ignorant man. So he said it's third space. So I took the word. So the nurse didn't know my brother was a doctor. So he came in and he wasn't doing anything. He wants to say, I said, no, nurse, I think what is happening with him is that this is just third space. He said, oh, you are an MD yourself. I said, well, praise the Lord. Yes, I said, it's third space. So because he came to me looking as a regular, I was a regular guy, but then when I threw in the word third space, the nurse changed the way he was caring. He said, oh, you yourself are, you are. Because he knew that regular folks like us wouldn't know anything that's called test space. Now, so if I'm using that word. So when you hang around people, you begin to speak like that and know the things that they know. So I began to ask my wife a question about embryo. Am I calling it correct? Uh-huh. And then, because I keep hearing President Obama talk about embryonic stem cell research. So I said, why is this in such a big deal? Why is this such a big deal? And you know, the whole idea about the embryonic stem cell research is so that they can harness a cell out of the embryo at the formation, just when it's formed. Now, why they want to do that, my wife now tell me, there's something in there that's called pluripotency. I'm looking. It's called what? Pluripotency. Now, what is pluripotency? It means that that thing is single, but the potential to do anything. Incredible. So they are doing all this research. So when they can extract that cell, if you have eye problem, you can't see, they will drop that thing, whatever, implant it in there, and that thing will cure eye. If you have cancer, they will drop. So plural in that thing has the potency to do anything. Incredible. Now, but you understand they are looking for embryos to have these cells with the power of this pluripotency for humans. So when they start their research, they started with rats to have this pluripotency in what? In rats, to do whatever a human part of rat, that plural thing, can create it. Do you know also in God? Also one pluripotency found in you, in any situation, anything God can do, if you drop that thing in, they will create it. And the Holy Spirit is a pluripotency in you. So anything God can do, you, singular, you drop that same thing in there, it will do what? It will create it. If it is sickness, you drop it there, it creates it. If it is financial, it put it there, it creates it. If it is relationship, you drop it there, does what? It creates it. Anything you put it there, if you're confused, you take it, you drop it there, it does what? It creates it. Incredible power we are carrying. The power of God to do all things. Do you think that if a Christian, do you think that that's not why they are chasing to get this embryo? If they have it, you can't stop them. But it is there, you know, but they have not found it. So if person does not know it and does not find it out, he becomes dormant. But I want you to understand today that that is what is in you. So all of a sudden, Jesus Christ said to them, why are you people mad that I'm saying that I'm the Son of God? Did even the prophets not say that ye are gods? So why are you angry? At the capacity. It's in you. It's in me. So in Christ Jesus, we receive that cell. The issue is, do you know the power of the cell you have? The issue is, are you being taken over by sensual that are warring against your soul? Are you allowing sensuals that are warring against your soul leave this plural potency of God's cell in you to remain dormant? Even in the Old Testament, David understood this. So in trouble, he says, even I'm going through, he says, I'm telling you, I'm going to do what? I'm going to come through it. He went through so much trouble, but his kingship is still honored. His kingship is still celebrated till what? Till today. That is what true legacy is. Sensual is very short-term, short-thinking. He says, we do not look at the things that are what? Seen. We don't consider it. He said, because the things that are seen, they are temporary. He said, but the things that are not seen, they are deathless. They say they remain alive forever. That is why your actions, your decisions, based on this potency, you leave this world and your children are still enjoying it. I was telling a brother yesterday, I said, look at the Israel. Look at the Israel. I said, thousands and millions of years. We started talking. I said, listen to all the what's this thing they give in Switzerland? Nobel Peace Prize. Go and read all the Nobel Peace Prize. 80% of everyone that has won it has Jewish background. In science, in physics, in medicine, everything. And God says, through your descendants, this world will be what? Blessed. Is it not happening? Potency of the power that's in you. What God has said. I was reading an article on New York Times, and they begin to talk about a tremendous movement of African, first generation African children and Caribbean African children, American children, first generation. They say, what's happened that all the Ivy Leagues have been populated by them? Do you know what they conclude? They say that they have faith. That the first generation people are always people of faith. And look at this country. This is the first. They say that's why they're not surprised. See how they show up over here with nothing. They say somehow they always, if you see them, they always have churches. After by the time you go 17th generation, 18th generation, they don't want to go to church. You know, the thing is that you can become too sensual. You think that you're okay. But that's when peace eludes you. Because the world can't give it. So you can build mansions. They can do all kinds of vacations. Me and my children, we took this vacation, went to this place. It was almost like gold. I said, Abba, so a place like this is in this world. And you see all of them over there naked, naked. I say, I have to go after. But after that, we're standing right there. We see two fighting. They have come to paradise. They're fighting. For as far as this world is concerned, you have died. Your real life is in Christ. Your real life is not just purely sensual. It's the wisdom from inside. Now you begin to manage the sensual. The sensual, your decisions does not come from out in. It comes from in out. So you take certain decisions. That's why I say a spiritual man, no man can judge him. So you take certain decisions. They say, this is crazy. But at the end, they say, wow. Because it is the cell and the potency of God. He says, there is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end of it is what? So it might seem all well, but your pluripotency say, oh, we're not going that way. They start saying you're foolish. Very soon they figure out why you're not foolish. Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. So Jesus said to them, everybody say, Jesus saying to me. Because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as what? As a mustard seed. Pluripotency. If you, you see these cells we're talking about, they need super, Doug, that's correct, right? They need super, what is the onyokonyo? Microscope to be able to see it. Your eye can't see it. And common microscopes can't see. You need a super one to see these cells. That's why it's taking so long for them to be able to identify it. It says, even as small, if you have faith, even as small as the mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, do what? Move from here and what? To there. And it will move. And nothing will be what? Look, nothing is nothing. I don't believe when a Christian starts saying, he says, well, we have prayed about this thing. And I said, my friend, so what do you mean God has failed? I don't care what it is. I will check out of this world believing God. And the point is, I already know how I'm checking out. And I was telling my children yesterday. I already know how I'm checking out. I know what God said. And no sensual thought, no sensual thing. Any sensual thing that shows up, if he has not reached, I'll refuse that sensual thing. I say, you are sensual. I'm not going to agree. He too will pass. Because two have to agree for them to work together. If he comes to sell it to me, I say, I'm not buying. He'll carry his cargo to somebody else. Nothing will be impossible. So he begins to say, all things are possible to those what? That is why we don't give up. He says we are more than conquerors. That's why when a Christian push, you don't tell him now it's over. He'll be laughing at you. He said, are you kidding me? He says no. It took me 7 years. It's taking me 7 years to do one deal. 7 years. And from day one, when the deal first failed, it looked impossible. After one day, me and my wife was driving to the church in Orange. I said, I'm knocking this with my wife. Finally, when it started happening, my wife said, you know, sometimes when we're driving and you're saying, I'm going like, is he mad? I said, yes. Coming down. They started from up there. And sometimes I keep saying, I said, they are holding it for me. I said, they are holding, let them spend them. Somebody came to me, I said, but this thing you're saying, it finally got to the hand of somebody, say, but he too is a Christian. I said, I'm not denying he's a Christian, but I'm saying, you see this place? It's mine. I said, okay, fine, he's a Christian. God will bless him for keeping it for me. And that's why he kept it for me, paid all the taxes, and then finally he said, okay, come and buy it. And I bought it for over 80% less than what I offered to him 7 years ago. A Christian, though. So a Christian fights. Why he's fighting is not just because he wants to prove a point. It's because that he has looked at things that are unseen. God has said something about that. And he has the proof of evidence in that. He said, I've dropped it in there. He said, it never comes back void. That's what God said in the morning. He said, it never does. How can God say that? So how can they not find that cell? I said, they drop it. So you know, if they find that cell, if they declare that, find that, anybody they drop it in their, you say, oh, thank God, oh, this thing is healed. That plural potency, they say it's working and they'll put it in this cast, it will go. But the word of God, we don't understand it. With things that are some things that are impossible for us to do. No. There's nothing. There is nothing. I don't care how long it has lingered there. If it's a relationship, I don't care how long it has lingered there. If it's your church, you have lingered. But God has said, I resolve, I make everything new. I restore it. He says, trust in me, and I'll do this. You stand. That's why I began to tell him the book of Ephesians. He said, after you have done all to stand, you do what? He said, you stand. That's why he's standing. So whenever they that's fighting come and see you, they say, Abba, he's still standing. Do you know that somebody that is standing, they don't ring the bell? Have you seen boxing, right? What happens in boxing? You go down, right? And then when you go down, they come and do your hands like this. But I don't care how much they have bruised your face. If you're going like this, do you know that nobody's, if they want to, they say, they call your name, you answer. They call your name, you answer. They say, oh yeah, fight. Yes. I'm telling you, my brothers and my sisters. The thing is that you're not fighting in the dark. There's something you know. That's the difference. This is not motivational speaking. This is not what I'm giving you. I'm telling you the truth. The word of God is truth. It's not motivational speaking. Where somebody can talk all flowery words, they're not opening the Bible. I don't understand where the power is going to come from.
1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Having been what? Born again. Not of what? Corruptible seed. This is important. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but what? Incorruptible. In other words, even if there's somebody is looking for a way to poison it, even if somebody is trying to look away to put something on that plural thing to cause it not to work, it is impossible. No matter what you add to it, no matter what you try to put to it, it cannot corrupt it. So that's why we're singing that there is no failure in God. Even if it tarries, even maybe, no matter what it is, you say, have God said it? He said he will do what? Because it cannot be corrupted. As long as you. And he says, you have been born again by that seed. And he said, that seed is through the word what? Of God, which lives and abides what? Forever. That's why a Christian shouldn't be toying with the word of God. A Christian should be toying and sitting down listening to the word of God. A Christian shouldn't set every kind of priority and make the word of God the one that he add on to. The senses will come and war on you. And even though you have that spirit, you will sit dormant, that the senses will take ascendancy and begin to have his way while you're carrying an incorruptible seed. Romans 8:31. So then what shall we say? Romans 8:31. Do you have it? What shall we then what? Say to the what? To these things. What should be our conclusion? If God be for us, who can what? Who can be against us? Understand, the question is if. And he is. His Holy Spirit is in you. It's in me. He is. So nothing can be against us. He is for us. So no matter what it is, he come up to you and say, you too, you are going to what? Pass. Because you can't be against me because God is for me.
Praise the Lord.
So rejoice always. This is the peace that they want. So at every time you rejoice. No matter what it is, you rejoice. Because greater is he that is in you than is what? That's in the world. So you rejoice. So you see it, you laugh. Have you ever seen your kid might get angry? Say, he's not going to greet today. Daddy, I'm not going to greet today. He comes, he says, he's going to fight you. He's going to fight you. Or he take a little stone, he holds your leg and he's crying. And what you start doing is what? Laugh. Because you know, whenever you feel like you, he's going to draw your leg like this. Now. But you hold it, you will say, ah, please, baby. Go, no, I'm not going to greet. Daddy, you must greet. You're laughing. So issues of life, when they come, you laugh. You laugh. Because it's when you pull your leg like this, you just keep going where you're going. They can't have ascendancy over you. They can't control you. Because greater is he that's in. And if God is for you, and he is for you, who can be against you? So Psalm 27, verse 13 to 14. That's why the King David was an incredible man that God used, even for his time. He says what? What? And he asks again, what would have become of me had I not believed? If I didn't know this truth and hold on it, this world would have, they would have destroyed me. He says, what would have become of me had I not believed that I'll do what? I will see the Lord's goodness in what? Not when I die. Here. If I didn't know that the goodness of God will work in my life, if I didn't know that the pure potency is working for me, if I didn't know that the Holy Spirit is in me, if I didn't know that I have the power, if I didn't know that all things work out for good for those who love and trust me, if I did not know that, I would have given up a long time ago and said, look, this thing is too much. Have your way. He said, no, but because I knew that, I resisted him in the faith. I stood. I stood. There's a proverb that says that if you take something that belongs to a little child, because you're taller than him, what you do is that you hold it up. But what you miss is that after a while, your hand will begin to hurt. And immediately your hands begin to hurt, what do? The kid takes his stuff and runs away. So actually holding his thing is you're wearing yourself out. Because the obvious is that the hand will come down. Verse 14. So he says, do what? Wait and hope for. And what? Expect. Listen, somebody who has a sure answer cannot be living a life that's lacking expectation. It can't just be a life that says, well, we don't know. Well, we are trusting God. No, if that's what you're doing, you're going to die. It's you saying what you're expecting. Praise the Lord. He says that you wait and you hope and you what? You expect. You say, this is what has been said. This is what will happen. So no matter what, that is how you don't get sell the dummy. So no matter what you say, no. I told a story about Make-A-Wish Foundation here. A young girl that they said, well, you're going to die. Since you're going to die, you know, the time is too short. He says, I want to see President Obama. They said, no, the time is too short. Why don't we just take you all to Disney World and give you 2 weeks and you enjoy? The kid said, no. He said, I'm not dying anything. I'm going to do what? See, arrange it. And she saw President Obama. And there, President Obama just spoke a word to her.
And that word has changed her life, and she's not dying anything. Cancer is retreating. If you ask her, she said that President Obama says that I can do all things. That anything that I set my mind to do, I can do. He says, I have not set my mind to die. The president said that. What is God saying to you? He says, so you expect. So not you are not expecting to see God and they begin to sell you Disney World. And you say, oh, well, Disney World is better now. No, because you go to that Disney World and die. You expect because it's the Lord. Because he's greater than all. Because no one can snatch anything out of his hand. So you say, this is what he said. This is my expectation. The expectation of the righteous will not be cut short. This is my expectation. I'm the righteous because Christ in me is my hope of glory. Because in Christ, I have become a beloved. The mercy of God is working in my life. I am accepted. He went to that cross. He died that I might be whole. So I'm a righteous man. In Christ, he has brought anything that is not righteous cannot come before God. Do you know that? If you have 0.000001, it cannot come before God. So, which means that even you coming to pray, if you're not righteous, you can't talk to God. So, I don't know how people say that, you know, I'm not righteous and they are praying. Are they praying to Mug? Who are they praying to? He says his eyes are purer, that he does not do what? He can't be iniquity, even a tiny one. So, even for you to come before God is because of Christ. So, if you come and you can talk, you are holy. I want you to know that. God does not talk to unholy people. Anything that is not holy, God can't touch it. So in Christ Jesus, you become holy. That's why you come in the name of Jesus and he says, let's walk. This is a holy person. So don't let sensual things confuse your relationship with God. He said, expect the Lord and be what? Be brave. Be brave. There is a word that says that if a father sends his son to go and bring something from a place, from a room, he says he comes there, he's so confident because his father has sent him. If that door is locked, he kicks it down. Because he knows his father is backing him. When he wants to say, what are you doing? He says, my dad told me. There is a braveness for somebody who understands the potency that he's carrying, that it is God. And God has said, bring that down. He goes, say, you are coming down. So he becomes brave. He's not being brave because he prayed last night, because he went to the mountain. Because he sent somebody over there. That's foolishness. It's because in Christ Jesus, he's what? He's accepted. And freely he has received it. So he be brave and of what? Good courage. So he's glad and he's rejoicing. When he tells you what you're going through, you become sure. You say you are going through this. He says, yes, you want to ask me? He says, but God has, God, he said, don't worry, it's resolved, watch. So you see his courage is good. You see him is rejoicing. He comes to church, he's dancing. And you be praying, say, this brother is dancing. Maybe God do for me. Well, you don't know what he's going to. But what he's saying, that what God has said, that's what he will do for me. So he has courage and let your heart be what? Stout and enduring. Saying what? He said, no. Happen. What I'm telling you, this is what God said. Yes, wait for and hope for and expect the Lord. And be glad with courage. With courage. Let me tell you something. It says that love does not speak evil of somebody. Right? Do you know if I tell you I'm coming to pick you up at 1 o'clock and you see somebody else? I just say, you know, are you going that? Just take me. What you're saying is that you don't trust me that I'll come. That's evil. That action, what that action is saying is that, you know, maybe he might come on. And he's saying that from beginning, your trust was not in me. That's what that action is saying. He said that from the beginning, even though you were following me, telling me all this, you really did not trust me. Because that is why I said, I'm coming at 1 o'clock. You just saw somebody and I came there. They said, there's this other guy that's driving this car. He showed up and they left. Say, wait and hope for and expect the Lord. Wait, hope, and do what? Expect him.
Expect him. There's an action of somebody who's expecting something. Let your journey not be, let it be a one full of expectation. And speak of your expectation. Speak of your expectation with a confidence, saying that this is what will happen. This is what will, you see, then when it begins to happen, they say, ah, he said it. You say, yes, this is God. Be confident and wait and expect the Lord.
Psalm 34, verse 8.
As I begin to round this up, he said, now you must do what? Taste. Taste it. You cannot know how something is unless you do what? You got to taste it. You got to taste it. If you come where somebody has cooked a great meal, you can be on TV and say everything about that meal. And say everything. You can talk everything you want. Until you taste it, you will not see or know if it is good or not. As a matter of fact, you can talk about how you want to know that somebody was not sure. People can come and be telling you all this story they heard from somebody else. You might just ask them a pointed question. Then they tell you the truth. They say, where is my friend that told me? Yeah, that's what happened. They will come and be saying it as if they were there. You know, some people like to drop names and say, ah, and then they said it, and they said, and then you just ask them one, especially if you're somebody who knows that person or there, you just ask them one pointed question. He says, well, you know, I have this friend that is a friend of his, the truth, come on. So it's important to taste God so that you know God for yourself. So it's not that our pastor said. Our pastor said has not helped anybody. What our pastor said is guide you to taste. For yourself. So if somebody asks you, say the Lord is good. So when you come to church, you'll be dancing. People will go, ah, his own is too much. They'll let your own be too much. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. For the Lord is good. He said, oh, the joy of those who what? Who take refuge in what? In God. Their joy is incredible. They have hidden behind a rock that never fails. I am standing on the rock that never fails. I'm standing on the rock that never fails. What about you? I'm standing on the rock that never fails. I'm standing on the rock that never. Yes. And there. The storms come. The wind come. They're blowing. He's laughing. You need help. He's there instead running to you. You ask him, how about you? Don't worry about me. Let me tell you something. Do you know one of the easiest ways for sickness and other things to ravage the lives of a person? If you become somebody who's very sour, every time you're sad, every time they are bitter, very soon sickness is coming. Even doctors have proven that. Yeah. But you know, sickness enter you. It's a joyous person. He's like a duck. You pour water on it. Somebody praise the Lord. Be glad. Be joyful. Celebrate things. Celebrate your life. Everything about your life is good. Why should you be ashamed of yourself? I'm going to do it, but I'm just waiting when I have this. I want to invite people. But you know, when we buy that 7 million house, so you're thinking that what God has given you is not good enough? Is that what you're thinking? So you celebrate everything. And when other people are happy, you be what? Happy. Not when somebody is happy, you go, why are they happy? No, you keep doing that. You're not going to get happy. You celebrate other people. You be joyful with them. You be joyful with them. Extend yourself to other people. If you keep saying, I don't have, there will be nothing for you to what? To give out. Even your plural potency will become dormant. You have something. You have something to celebrate. You can even celebrate that you have done your haircut and it looks like mine. Go and celebrate that my haircut is like pastor's haircut. Praise the Lord. So celebrate. Be joyful. Be joyful. God loves you. He has given you His Holy Spirit. You have the plural potency for every issue that is coming. Apply the love of God to it. I'm sure there are many of you here that have gone through issues that trusted God. It might have taken a day, it might have taken 2 years, but now your story has changed. But there were some things that were telling you that time, kill yourself. Go run under the chair. God, He was telling you all those things. If you have done it then, would you be here now? No.
But it is turning. It is what? It's turning. It's turning. It must turn. It must turn, because wherever that plural potency is put in, it does what you're supposed to do in it.